In my mother's garden, there is a tree that grows my favourite kind of apple. It's called a Cox's orange pippin, and they're delicious. Last week, my family and I went over to her house to harvest the apples, and it was really good fun to do as a family. Tom and Sam were up the ladder climbing the tree, and even Zoe was trying to have a go, even though she's only 1 year old. She didn't make it up the ladder, but she had a go. And here is one of the apples from that tree. According to orangepippin.com, these apples are the benchmark for flavour. This is a variety, it goes on, for the connoisseur who can delight in the appreciation of the remarkable range of subtle flavours. Pear, melon, freshly squeezed Florida orange juice and mango are all evident. Well, I can't personally say that I've experienced all those tastes. Maybe it's just my mother's tree, maybe I'm just not a connoisseur, but they are delicious. And let's see what it tastes like. Just try a bit there. How would you rate it, Bev?
Okay. Well, very sweet, definitely mango, I think.
Mango, okay. Thank you.
I like it.
Very nice. That's definitely the benchmark.
Yeah, plenty of freshly squeezed orange juice coming out there. It's good flavour.
Thank you. It is a delicious apple. And we praise God for the Cox's orange pippin. Apparently it was almost discovered by mistake in a crossbreed of two trees, and this amazing apple was produced. So we praise God for this delicious fruit, just one fruit amongst thousands. The world is bursting with wonderful things that God has enabled. So praise God for that. This morning I wanted to think about a different kind of harvest as well. The harvest that God wants to produce in your heart. Yes, God has a seed that he wants to plant inside you. He wants a seed to grow and to produce a harvest in your heart. So Ben's going to come up now, and he's going to give us our Bible reading, which is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. But it's a different translation from the ones in your chairs, so maybe just listen this time. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15.
When a great crowd was gathered, and people were coming to Jesus from every town, he told them this story. A farmer went out to plant his seed. While he was planting, some seed fell by the road. People walked on the seed, and birds ate it up. Some seed fell on rock, and when it began to grow, it died because it had no water. Some seed fell among thorny weeds, but the weeds grew up and it choked at the good plants. And some fell on good ground, and grew and made 100 times more. As Jesus finished the story, he called out, "Let those with ears use them and listen." Jesus' followers asked him what this story meant. Jesus said, "You have been chosen to know the secrets about the kingdom of God, but I use stories to speak to other people so that they will look, but they may not see. They will listen, but they may not understand." This is what the story means. The seed is God's message. The seed that fell beside the road is like the people who hear God's teaching, but the devil comes and takes it away from the road so they cannot believe it and be saved. The seed that fell on rock is like those who hear God's teaching and accept it gladly, but they don't allow the teaching to go deep into their lives. They believe for a while, but when trouble comes, they give up. The seed that fell among the thorny weeds is like those who hear God's teaching, but they let the worries, riches, and pleasures of this life keep them from growing and producing good fruit. And when the seed that fell on the good ground is like those who hear God's teaching with good, honest hearts and obey it and patiently produce good fruit.
Ben, thanks very much. So what do we learn from this? Well, the first thing is that God's teaching is like a seed. One of the truly incredible things about the world that God has made is the way in which a tiny seed turns into a big plant or a tree, something thousands of times bigger than the seed itself. And it is a marvelous thing to wonder about. How does that happen? Let's get a seed out of one of these apples. There we go, there's little Cox's orange pippin seed, so tiny you can probably hardly see it. How does this turn into this? The tiny seed into the huge tree. I'm not actually asking for answers just at the moment. That was, I'm afraid, a rhetorical question which I shouldn't have asked at an all-age service. Would someone, and you can put your hand up for this, would someone like to come and plant it in our yellow flower pot? How about you? Do you want to poke it in so it goes right inside? Excellent. Thank you very much. What's your name?
Chloe.
Chloe, thank you. Do take a seat again. That's great. Chloe's planted it in the soil there. And a tiny seed bursts into life when it comes into contact with water and warmth. Jesus' story is about seeds coming to life. And in his story, Jesus understands God's teaching to be like a tiny seed. It's a seed that gets planted inside people like you and me. God's teaching in the seed is the message about Jesus being the King and the Savior of people who believe in him and hold fast to his teaching. We find this message in the Bible. So this book, the Bible, Jesus is saying it's like a seed, and God wants to plant it inside you. He wants to plant this seed inside you. Now, how does the seed of God's message get inside us? Any thoughts? How does it get inside us?
I forgot.
Okay, that's okay.
It falls into our mouths.
Into our mouths. Okay, so you're thinking we need to eat the Bible. Yeah? I don't think that's the right way. Is there any other thoughts? How does God's message get inside us?
Because he has power.
He has power. That's a good answer. Through God's power. Excellent. Any other thoughts?
We read the Bible and listen to it.
We read the Bible and listen to it. That's right. So, the Bible, when we listen to it, comes into us through our ears, doesn't it? In it goes, and the seed gets planted. Or maybe we read it, and the words come off the page, and the message goes into our eyes, and the seed is planted inside us. And the power of God is at work in that. Thank you, Mary. So it's listening and reading, and we can do that at home. We can do it at church, in Sunday clubs, on the Royal Holloway campus it's going on, in home groups, CBSI. We can do it on our own or with other people. Jesus' story that we're looking at this morning, that Ben read to us, is coming true every Sunday here at Christ Church. And indeed, it's coming true through the week at other sessions where the Bible is heard and explained. And I'll tell you what, Jesus' story is coming true right at this very moment, because we are listening to God's word, his message, and we're trying to understand what it means. So the story is happening real time as I speak, as we heard it read by Ben. It's a bit like we've sort of climbed into the Bible. It's a bit like we've sort of kind of got into the story. I can't quite fit in there. But or you could look at it the other way. And the story has come out of the book and come alive, and we're in it. Imagine that you're watching Bob the Builder on TV. I'm sure it's it's your favorite program. You're watching Bob. And suddenly, you're in the story as well. Building with Muck and Dizzy. It's like you've become part of the story. That's what's happening with this story from the Bible. Or imagine you're watching an adaptation of Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. Elizabeth Bennet, you know what's coming. Caroline Bingley. William Collins. It's amazing what you can do with just 2 minutes on Wikipedia. That's a tip for the fellas. You're watching this classic Regency period piece. And then you're in the story! You're in the story as well! Yeah! This is what's going on with Jesus' story of the seeds being planted. It's happening here and now. You are in the Bible story now. It's all come alive. So God's teaching is like a seed, and God wants to plant it inside you. Now the reason God does this is because his teaching is like a seed that has the power to give you eternal life. It's an incredibly important seed. Now we saw how Chloe put the seed into the yellow pot there, into the soil, and we hope that it's going to grow into a tree one day. A busy farmer works hard on his farm, planting crops, tending them, because he wants to have a harvest of good food, of wheat and corn and fruit. In the same way, God wants to put the seed of his teaching inside you because he wants a harvest in your heart. Jesus finishes his story with these words. What is the seed that fell on the good ground? It's like those who hear God's teaching with a good, honest heart. They obey God's teaching and patiently produce good fruit. So what's Jesus saying there? What's Jesus saying? He wants to produce this harvest in our lives. And this harvest is belief in Jesus and holding on to God's teaching that leads to salvation. God's teaching works inside us to produce salvation. Now, when you eat food, you don't immediately grow 2 feet the next day, do you? It happens over time, but you need to keep eating the food every day to grow. It's the same with a plant. That seed hasn't sprouted yet, has it? We need to wait, we need to water it, put it in the sunshine, needs air to breathe, and over time the plant grows. And it's the same with the seed of God's word. We don't necessarily see the results straight away, but it works away inside us. Can you see that God's teaching in the Bible is really important? It really matters. It does something inside us, like food or water. The Bible, when we hear it and understand it, it has this effect in us that can produce eternal life. And that's pretty amazing. It's a life book. When it gets inside you, it starts to do things. So God's teaching is like a seed that has the power to give you eternal life. God wants his teaching to do something in you. He wants to produce a harvest of eternal life. And here's a question for you. Do you want this to happen to you? Do you want to have eternal life, life after death? If you do, you need to believe and obey God's teaching about Jesus through each stage of your life until it produces a harvest of salvation. What we find when we look at the details of the story is that the seed doesn't grow in each person's heart automatically. No, different people respond in different ways. Some people hear God's teaching, but they have hard hearts. And Jesus pictures these people as like a hard path. The seed falls on it, but it doesn't go into the soil, so it never is able to grow. I may regret trying to draw this in front of you, but I'll have a go. There's the path, and that represents a hard heart. Now, I have to say that this, being this kind of person, is really bad. It's really bad news, because these people are not going to be saved for eternal life. So don't be hard-hearted. Then there are some other people who they hear God's teaching, and Jesus describes them as like rocky people. So the seed falls onto rock, and it springs up quickly. They respond joyfully to the message of Jesus, but they don't have any deep roots. They believe for a while, but when trouble comes, they stop believing and turn away from God. So these people are the rock people. And they have a shallow heart. So the seed doesn't go inside them. So it doesn't really, these little bits of rock here. It doesn't do anything. And later on they give up and they turn away from God. And again, this is very sad. I wonder if you've ever had this happen to a friend or a family member. Very painful to watch people turning away from God like this. People responded with joy at one stage, but then give up. And again, it's bad news, because these people probably won't be saved for eternal life. Maybe they'll turn back later on, but there's no assurance in the story. The third type of people, they listen to God's teaching, but then later on, worries, riches and pleasures come in and they stop the seed from growing. So this bit of land, it's got lots of other seed mixed up with it, weedy seed that grows up. And it grows up, it takes the nutrients, so they never actually produce any fruit. And these people have a divided heart. They hear the word of God, the message, yes, but then riches, pleasure, worries come in and they stop it producing any fruit. So this is a divided heart. And this ground is weedy. Let's draw a few weeds growing up. There we go. Again, we don't want to be this kind of soil. Finally, there are people who hear God's teaching and they produce a good harvest. This is what God wants. He wants a harvest. And these people have a good heart. They obey God's teaching and patiently produce good fruit. They believe and obey Jesus. And they will be saved for eternal life. So in Jesus' story, the difference between a big stack of delicious apples and no fruit at all is to do with how good the soil is. The harvest is not to do with the quality of the seed. No, there's no problem with the seed. It's to do with the quality of your heart. So where are you in the picture? Do you have a hard heart? I'm glad to hear that. Do you have a shallow heart? Do you have a divided heart? Or do you have a good heart? People with good hearts receive God's teaching about Jesus and obey it. They keep believing and obeying through each stage of life until they reach a harvest of salvation. So they believe through school, and they believe through their teenage years, and they believe through college or university or their first job. They believe, they keep believing as they progress in their career, or maybe through periods of unemployment. They believe through marriage or singleness, through becoming a mother or a father, through losing people that they love. These people keep believing through midlife and through retirement. Through each stage of life, they keep believing, they keep holding on to God's teaching through thick and thin, until it produces this harvest of salvation. So where are you in the picture? Let me conclude. So God's teaching is like a seed that has the power to give you eternal life. You need to believe and obey God's teaching about Jesus through each stage of your life until it produces the final harvest of salvation. So I would encourage you to pray to God, seek Him that He might give you a good heart that will produce this harvest. And perhaps this Wednesday's day of prayer and fasting will be a good focus for you to seek God about this very important matter. Let's bow our heads to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bit of teaching from Jesus. And we see, Lord, that not everyone perseveres to eternal life. And so we ask, please, for each of us, Father, that you would give us good hearts, that we might receive your message about Jesus, that we would believe in him and trust him, that we would be obedient to him, and that we might keep going through every stage of life. And we ask this for your glory. Amen.